Okay, we're ready. Okay, I'm going to ask you to just say your name.
Paul H. Meadows.
Okay, and the date is October the 18th, 2013.
The date is October the 18th, 2013.
And my name is Joyce Sullentrop, and I'm doing the interview. Okay, so now we just go on to some questions.
Okay.
Before, you said that you really didn't want to go, and then you were drafted.
Yes, well, I had gotten married, and I didn't notify the board about it, but I was drafted anyway, so that's kind of why I didn't want to go, because I just got married, but anyway. Okay. I went, and I'm kind of glad I did.
And you were surprised when you got the notice?
Yeah, I really was. Yeah.
And you didn't want to go because you had just got married?
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Were you aware of what was going on in Korea at the time?
Yes, I was. I took my basic training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and every company that had trained before us went to Korea. But when we got our orders, it was for Germany.
Okay.
So I was over in Germany for a year and a half.
So, but you thought that you might go to Korea?
I kind of figured I was going because that's where every company before us had been going when they finished basic training.
And when you went in, did others from your community, were they drafted also?
Yes, they were. There were some that I had went to high school with and in that vicinity that actually some of them took basic training with me.
Okay. Could you describe your experience in basic training? Was it your first time, I guess, away from home or traveling? Or
No, it really wasn't the first time. I went to Chillicothe, Missouri to go to business college. And then from then on, I was away from home. But, basic training was quite an experience. It was from April to August in South Carolina, and it's pretty hot down there. And we took infantry training, basic training, and we walked everywhere. We didn't ride anywhere. So I lost about 20, 30 pounds going through basic training. So
And what did you think of you? You grew up hunting with guns? And
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the training.
Well, no, I mean, it was an experience, but I was used to firearms and stuff like that. It, of course, there's a different firearm than we used hunting, but.
And were there other people from your area that went through training with you?
Yes, he was.
But there were young men from all over the United States?
Oh, yeah, they were from everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, you got acquainted with a lot of people, and that was an eye-opener to get out that far away from home, and people are different everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You know. Is there a particular individual or a particular experience that you remember from those?
Basic training?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Made a lot of friends when I was there, but of course, never saw him again after, that.
So how did you find out that you weren't going to Korea, but
well,
to Germany?
I didn't know until our orders came out where we were going to go when we finished basic training. And that's, and of course, I got, they notified us where we were going to go, and then we were on leave for a couple of weeks, and then we shipped out to Germany Back then, we rode a boat instead of flying.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, we were on a boat for 2 weeks going over and a boat 2 weeks coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Going over, I was sick most of the time. But coming back, it didn't seem to bother me, so I was kind of odd. But.
And you said you were just married, so your wife, did she join you in Germany?
No, she lived with her mother for a while, and of course, she got pregnant, and so we had a baby while I was in basic training, and I never saw him until I got to come home on leave.
Oh, my.
But she worked. We were poor people.
Mm-hmm.
She had to work to help, of course. She got an allotment from my army time pay. So.
Do you remember how much you got paid?
$99.
A month?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
All right.
It wasn't very bad.
No.
Well, I only got about $30 or $40 myself because of that allotment. Well, then I owed the bank there, Neil, some money, and I had a Class E allotment going to them to pay that note off, and it wasn't very big, but it takes time.
So in the 2 years you were in, you didn't get a raise or anything?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what I was getting when I got out. And the more rank you got, the more money you made, but I didn't make much rank, so.
Mm-hmm.
But.
So when you arrived, where did you embark from the ship? In Germany or?
Bremen.
Okay, and then they put you on trains?
Yeah, rode a train to.
And what was the base that you were at?
I was at, it was a German tank, camp. They call it Kasern over there in Germany, but little town of Böblingen. It was close to Stuttgart, which is a big town in Germany, about 20 kilometers, which that's what they use over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 20 miles from there. But it was, I was in a signal outfit that we go on maneuvers, and what we did was furnish communications for the Air Force. We'd go to places with them, and I'm not real familiar. What information we were sending, but that's what the deal was. We trained with the Air Force, and that's it.
And so, was the Air Force just flying?
No. They were. It was out in rural Germany, and we go. I don't know what the Air Force did out there, but we camped with them. I never did find out. No, they wasn't at airport or anything like that. But it was on bivouac. We kind of played soldier, you might say, but it was a learning, training experience. That's what it meant to. But
was that what you did the whole time?
Well, yeah, I did on the start, and then I didn't. The code was, here it was Morse code that I learned on the railroad. That's why I wound up in a signal outfit.
Okay, good.
But it was, they call it, been so long ago, it was a different code.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't like it, but there was a Jeep driving job that came open. The guy that had it went home, and so I talked to my CO and told him I'd like to do that, so they let me do that. So what I did, I drove the first lieutenant to the second in command at our company. And then I run errands. People come in, I'd go to the train station at Stuttgart and pick them up and bring them back to the base, and then if they were going home, I'd take them to the train station where they could leave and ship out to go home. But
so did you? You didn't have any of the German language. Did you learn some when you were over there?
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah,
just enough to get by. That's about it. Some of it I probably shouldn't have learned. But
well, we won't go into that.
Okay. But
so did you, were you able to, okay, so you were there 51 to 53. So the Korean War, there had been peace in Korea.
Not yet. They were fighting in Korea then.
Yeah. But did that influence or affect whatever you were doing, or did you know, or could you know, I guess?
Well, I, not that I'm a coward, but I was kind of glad I went to Germany where they wasn't fighting, you know. Mm-hmm.
So how did you know about the Korean War? Was there daily news that you would read
about it? Well, it was, you know, it went from World War II to the Korean War and the Vietnam War, and mm-hmm. And the eras of those years is that which they call that the Korean War, when in the 50s there. When,
mm-hmm.
But, I kind of kept up on the news as far as, you know, the war and one thing or another.
And you were able to write your wife, and she was able to write you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But not necessarily call.
Well, we didn't, because we didn't, like I said, we were poor people. We didn't have the money to mm-hmm. do that. And no, we wrote letters all the time, but other than that, why? Till I saw her, it's, you know, it's.
Mm-hmm.
But her and her brother and his wife came and picked me up when they sent me to Breckinridge, Kentucky to be discharged when I got out of the service, and they came down and picked me up.
With your son?
No, they didn't. She didn't bring him.
He would have been, what, a year and a half?
Yeah, she, he stayed with his grandmother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He probably didn't even, he didn't know you.
No, not really. He didn't see very much of me, but anyway.
Okay, so when you were in Germany, if you had leave, and I'm assuming you had leave.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Would you travel in Europe?
Yeah, I wish I'd have traveled a lot more than what I did. In fact, I had 37 days leave time that I cashed in. But I went to Amsterdam, Holland. We went to Paris, and we went down to Bavaria, where Hitler's, one of his hideouts were, or whatever. It's a pretty fancy deal to be a hideout. But, yeah, I wish I'd, like I said, I wish I'd have traveled more, but I didn't have enough money to do too much traveling.
Mm-hmm. Did you travel by train?
Yeah, everything over there was by train.
Well, okay, so the World War... Oh, look at the snow.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. It's coming down.
So World War II ended in 45. So was Hitler's, his home was up in the mountain? Is that the one you're talking about? The Eagle's Nest?
Birch's Garden, I think they called it. Yeah, okay.
Was it open so people could go in and look?
No, it really wasn't. We didn't get to go in, but we were there where it was. And mm-hmm. It's beautiful country over there, too. That's Germany's... snow's kind of like it just fell, and I've seen it stack up about that high on a fence post about so big around. It mm-hmm. just fell, you know, no wind, Kansas wind. So
I know.
But
okay, so when you went to Paris would have been recovering from German occupation in World War II.
Yeah.
What was your impression there?
Oh, it was interesting. We saw the... Well, we went up on the Eiffel Tower and ate lunch at a restaurant about halfway up, that big arc. And we saw quite a bit, and we went to a show there, and we didn't do really too much. We wasn't there too long, but we went there just to kind of say we'd been there, you mm-hmm. know. But we had a good time, and it was something we would have never seen otherwise.
Right.
But in
Amsterdam?
Yeah, we mostly just sights saw up there is the canals and everything. We rode those boats, you know, you take trips on those canals and around through the city, and we did that. And, oh, I, That's about the size of it, just sightseeing. Mm-hmm. To kind of say we'd been there.
And you said earlier before we started taping that you were glad that you had gone. And
oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. It was... I shouldn't, probably shouldn't say it. I kind of felt like it was 2 years of my life that was wasted, but it really wasn't. Mm-hmm. At the time, I thought that, but now I don't, so...
Well, you were just newly married and had a child and probably wanted to be back here.
A long ways from home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was...
Well, how old were you during World War II?
Well, I was born in 29, so I wasn't old enough to... I had a brother that was in World War II in the very end of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was in any fighting, but he was... He was in the army for kind of in the peace action part of it, I guess mm-hmm. you'd say.
Well, when World War II was going on, in your community, people talked about the war?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was in high school, actually, when I graduated in 47. So it started, in 43? Mm-hmm. So a big part of it was pretty much over by the time I was old enough to, that's why I wound up in the Korean War, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But
and then you were aware of the Korean War when you were drafted, of course.
Oh, yes.
Would you read the newspapers, listen to the radio, or?
Oh, yeah, both. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't have TV back then, so...
Right. And would you say your family was a military family? Had your father served?
No. My brother and I was the first ones in my immediate family to mm-hmm. to go to the military and army.
And what did you learn about people or, I guess, human nature?
Well... I think every country has a different, lifestyle, and I had some good German friends when I was over there, because they worked on our base, in PX and things like that. Mm-hmm. We got acquainted with them, Germany's a beer-drinking country. They have a big, and well, this month they have an Oktoberfest over there that's quite a party. And
mm-hmm.
We've attended some of those, one of those anyway. But it was...
Well, Germany was just still, it was really recovering from...
I tell you, Stuttgart, they was... worlds of bombed out buildings mm-hmm. there, but they'd kind of cleaned them up, the trash, but the walls and stuff were still there. They hadn't rebuilt anything to speak of. They just had cleaned out the rubble from the bombings. For some reason, they bombed it pretty heavily during the war, or World War II there, but that was quite a sight to see. You can imagine what went on there.
So what did it make you think when you saw a city that had been bombed that much?
Well, I was glad it wasn't where I lived.
That's true.
I tell you, it had to be terrible over there during the war. I've read stories and everything about it. Some what the guys went through, but it all turned out better than we'd hoped, anyway. But
mm-hmm.
still, it was a lot of destruction and deaths that was really unnecessary. But
I guess that's what war is.
That's true. That's what war is.
So when you were a Jeep driver. Was that most of your time there that you drove the Jeep?
Well, the biggest part of it, yes. Mm-hmm. It's
so one day was basically you would get up and...
Well, yeah, just I'd check with the our office, local clerk, and he'd tell me what I needed to do or where I needed to go or one thing or another. We had a German tailor that had a room and a barracks there, but he took the cleaning out in the country or to a little town that had a dry cleaners on it, and I would take him and all the clothes. We'd load all that in my Jeep, and we'd take it out to that cleaners, and I'd wait on him to do it or drive around, look the country over. I forget the little name of the little town that we'd go to, but it was fairly close to this little town of Bob Lincoln that we were stationed at. But,
are you saying Bob Lincoln?
Yeah, B-O-B-L-I-N-G-E-N, Bob Lincoln.
Oh, okay. So was he taking military uniforms?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was our clothes that he would take out there. And the uniforms, well, they'd wash your fatigues, but our dress clothes, they'd dry clean. Mm-hmm. So, but, yeah.
What other services did you have? You certainly ate, lived, and everything there. You had a PX.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had a movie theater and you know, about everything that most posts have.
But when you were out with the Air Force, was that any different? Was there a base out there?
No. We were camped out in the country.
Oh.
We on bivouac, they called it. We lived in pup tents out when we were out in the country.
Okay.
And we had a mess tent where they fixed our food for us and everything. And, of course, our latrines, we dug a ditch, and, mm-hmm. and that was the latrine.
But that was just a very small part of your...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I did mostly, though. When we'd go on maneuvers, I'd drive this first lieutenant out there, and it was kind of interesting. Then there was an American zone and the British zone and so forth, but when we'd get out of the American zone, he would drive the Jeep and I'd ride.
Really?
He couldn't do that in the American zone, but yeah, I'd sit there and have first lieutenant drive me around over the country. But we'd go on the Autobahn, which is that main highway. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of that. But mm-hmm. and to different, we'd usually go to the British zone for these maneuvers. For some reason, I can't tell you why, but that was where we would go as a rule.
So, what did you think of the idea that there were different zones? There was a British zone, a United States zone. Was there a French?
I think it was a Russian, I believe.
Right, which would eventually turn out to be East Germany.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, did you feel any of that tension with the Russian?
Well, we never really were close to that over mm-hmm. there. I never did get to Berlin or anything where the wall was and all that good stuff, but... I don't remember if I saw any Russians. I didn't know they were Russians, so mm-hmm. But anyway. No, it was...
And what was the food like?
Oh, it was pretty good. Sometimes it wasn't too good, but...
And the movies you saw, they would have been movies that were released in the United States?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember any of those?
No.
No?
I didn't go too often. We had a movie theater there on the post. I'd go once in a while, me and my friends and one thing and another. But I don't remember any of the shows we saw. But just something to do. We had, you know, time off where we...
Was it sort of boring?
Well, not really. Not really. I mean, There was always something going on, mm-hmm. you know.
Could you see the effects of the war as you drove around the countryside?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's bombed out stuff everywhere over there. It's kind of makes an impression on you to see what went on.
And the German people, did you have much contact with them?
Quite a bit. Yeah, we'd go to Stuttgart on pass and eat in restaurants and one thing and another. Mm-hmm. I never will forget the first time we, a bunch of us, went to a German restaurant and ate, and I ordered Wiener Schnitzel, they call it, which is veal.
Mm-hmm.
But it came out with two fried eggs on top of it, and of course, there was a friend from Kansas with us, sergeant, that he spoke real good German, and this waitress came up to me and said something to me. I had no idea what she said, and I said, no, I thought she asked me if I didn't want the eggs, and man, she got real mad, and so I asked him, I said, well, what did she say? Well, she asked me if I didn't like them or they wasn't good, and I said, and which I didn't mean that. I just didn't want the eggs on my meal mm-hmm. or meat. And anyway, that was kind of a learning experience right there. But you learn to get by with enough German to, you know, to talk to people. Big majority of them spoke English anyway mm-hmm. over there. There's, some of them didn't, but it's kind of like here in the Mexicans, some of them don't speak English, and it's kind of the way it was over there. But like I said, and of course, they got acquainted during World War II with the soldiers and learned English and mm-hmm. one thing and another. But
any experiences that you remember vividly during that time?
Well, not really. I mean, it was, you know, just, I would say kind of humdrum with day in and day out. It was a job, and
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have any real exciting things to me that happened, so it was just, we did our job, and that was about it. But
well, then when you came home with your company, right? I mean, you all came home at the same time.
No, we came home individually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and we came into the company individually, too.
Because it was what you called the bastard?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But, well, any of them, I mean, see, there's people coming and going all the time, so some of them were still had duty to do after I left, but I left by myself,
Did you keep in contact with any of the friends?
Oh, some of them. I had a good friend from Oregon, and I had a good friend from two good friends from New York that were in my company. That we did things together when we'd go somewhere. But I talked to them quite a bit after we got written, you know, in time. I haven't heard anything out of them forever now, but I don't know whether they're even still alive or not. But,
mm-hmm.
but
you didn't have a group of people that would have a reunion every so many years?
No, nothing like that. I know a lot of the Army companies did that, mm-hmm. but we never did. In the VFW in the Legion magazine, it was one time I saw an article that somebody from that company had written in. I wanted information about something. I don't remember what it was now, but that's, excuse me, that's the only time that I've ever seen that 75th AGL come
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that 97th Signal Battalion, that was a big outfit. I mean, you know, that was four or five companies like
right.
ours, but we were attached to them. We were stationed the same. They were stationed there at this Bob Lincoln where we were. And like I said, it was an old German tank fort or camp. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, so then the United States Army just came over.
Yeah, it took it over, you know, per se. And in fact, we had trucks with mobile units on them for communications, but they pulled a trailer with a motor to furnish electricity to run it. Mm-hmm. And that's, we had a motor pool. I worked in the motor pool some too, since after I got the Jeep driving job. We had an older fella sergeant there was a motor in charge of the motor pool, and I helped him, did office work, paperwork and stuff like that when I wasn't out driving.
Mm-hmm.
But they worked on those units there in the big shop we had.
So when you got into the Army, went through basic training, did it impress you that the Army was so organized and efficient?
Well, to a certain extent, yes. It's quite an operation to do what they do. I mean,
just to move the people around.
Yeah, I tell you, it's. It's you don't know how they keep track of you. Actually, as many of them as they are, you know, the mm-hmm. soldiers and everything. But.
Well, okay. So, is there anything else that you want to say about your military experience? What I mean, you already said that, you know, you learned a lot about different kinds of people, and you used what you had before from, like, the code you used that in the
telegraph,
Army.
Yeah, telegraph, mm-hmm. yeah. I did, yes, for a while. And, when I first went to the company, they had a school, kind of like the telegraph school I went to in Missouri. Well, I had to go through that school to learn it. What do they call that? American code or something? It was a different. It was a radio signal where on the Morse codes a dot dash dot dash.
Right.
But this was, they called it a continuous wave, and it was different. It was the same, yet it was different. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, but. I really didn't care too much about it, and that's why I finally changed and got this Jeep driving job, which I really enjoyed it.
And did you learn or acquire any skills while you were in the Army then, when you came home, that you could apply, or?
Oh, not really. In fact, I went back to work on the railroad. I really, when I was drafted, I didn't think I liked the railroad. I mean, what I'd learned so far, but I didn't know what else to do, and I still had a job. They, mm-hmm. they kept my job open, so I went back to them, and I stayed. Finally, it worked out, so I stayed. Well, actually, it's only 39 years, I guess, because two of those 41 years I was in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you came back, it was just an easy transition.
Yeah.
And what did you do on the railroad specifically?
Well, I worked in the depots. As an agent, clerk, and I wasn't a trainman.
So you weren't riding the train?
No.
Okay.
No.
And where was this in?
When I hired out, they sent me, the Colorado Division, when I got the job, I envisioned working in the mountains, in the country. I'd never been to Colorado but once. Well, they sent me to Syracuse I had to take 6 months of training,
mm-hmm.
Apprentice, they called it, and so I did that at Syracuse, which I kind of thought was the end of the world.
Yes, it still is, probably.
Yeah, it sure wasn't Colorado. But I worked, after I got promoted to an operator, agent, I worked from Dodge City to, north Colorado Springs, all stations all up through there. Relieving vacation, you work on the extra board till you get enough. It's a seniority deal. Until you get enough seniority to bid in a, you bid on jobs when they come open. Somebody quit or bid in. They'd bid in another job, and their job would come up for bid. And so, but finally, I was still on the extra board when I was drafted, and when I came back, there was a lot of people younger than me in seniority that had permanent jobs, but I had to go back on the extra board.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot to turn that radio off. But anyway.
Will it go off?
No. I don't know why it was off, though. The station must have been off the air.
You want to turn it off? That's fine.
Well, I'll have to get behind you there to get to it.
So did your wife travel with you when you went?
No.
No?
No, she didn't. She stayed home all the time that I was gone.
Okay. And where did you live? I mean, where did she live?
Toronto.
Oh, okay. So she stayed in the home area.
Yeah, she stayed with her mother, and then, well, I had a sister and was married to live in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and she got a job with Phillips Oil Company down there, and she lived with my sister there in Bartlesville, and till I got home, and then, of course, we moved to Syracuse when I got the job there, and we lived there till we moved down to Cimarron here.
Okay.
But,
well, when you were working on the railroad, it was really the heyday of the train, right?
Yeah, when I went to work, the steamers were still running.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So why did you choose to go to the railroad in the first place?
Well, my wife's brother had went to work for the Missouri Pacific back there in eastern Kansas, and that kind of enticed me to learn to go to school to learn the telegraph, which back then you had to know to get a job. Of course, it's a lost art anymore, but that was kind of why I did that, what he had told me about and one thing or another. Had been going with my wife, and I decided it's time I needed to do something to get a permanent job if I was going to get married and have a family and one thing or another. So that's kind of why I did it. But yeah, I like I said, I wasn't too enthused at first, but after later on, I'm glad things worked out the way they did. So.
Well, it was a good, secure job.
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, the retirement's better than Social Security. It's in fact, my wife worked most of her life and paid in Social Security, but when we retired, well, she could draw more money drawing on my pension than she could by just drawing Social Security. And so that's kind of what we did there, but...
Well, you certainly saw a lot of changes. What was it like with the big steam engines?
Well, it was real interesting, I tell you. Every year, well, here for the last 6 or 8 years, on my birthday, my kids, we go somewhere and we ride a train, go to Colorado where the narrow gauge rails, they call it, and it's all steam. We've been to...
The one at Durango.
Yeah, Durango. That's a beautiful trip up there to Silverton. And then the first one we went on was from Antonita to Chama.
Right.
And that was a beautiful trip, too. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Santa Fe and rode a train from Santa Fe to... Mine went blank, which wasn't very far, about an 18 to 20 mile trip there.
Mm-hmm. So do you ever go to Dodge City, get on the train and go anywhere?
No, I really haven't. I rode the train quite a bit when I went to work for the railroad. I didn't have a car. and I'd ride the train back, and we had, you know, local passenger trains then, but I'd ride them to my jobs where I was going to be and stay there, but
Well, now my neighbor tells me that they've cut back on the crew and, you know, the...
Yeah, it's amazing. When I went to work, there was five people on a train.
Mm-hmm.
Engineers, firemen, two brakemen, and a conductor. Now they do it with two people.
I know.
I don't know how they do it. I mean, of course, I'd retired when they started doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like every station I worked at, they'd close for some reason.
But, so when did you retire? What year?
In January of 1991.
Okay.
And I was working at Dodge City at that time,
mm-hmm.
and they'd closed Dodge City Station.
I know.
And I took an early retirement. I like 9 months being old enough to get full retirement. But I could have went to Kansas City or Albuquerque for that 9 months and to, you know, finish out my time. I had plenty of service, but I took a reduction in pension and went ahead and retired. They gave me a buyout, though, too. I got a year and a half's pay on a buyout, so I figured that at 9 months... at buyout to take care of that. So,
right. So you're glad you made that decision.
Oh, yeah.
And
retirement's
been good for you.
Yeah, it has. I haven't accomplished too much. But
well, you're not supposed to in retirement.
Well, no, but...
Okay, so we'll need to wrap this up because it's about an hour of your time I've taken.
Well, that's fine.
Trying to think of some way to a question. After you got out of the service, and then of course the Korean War, you know, well, the police action had been sort of decided, and then we moved into Vietnam, and then of course in more modern times we've been in war after war after war.
Yeah.
Did you have any thoughts about what the war meant to a nation or what it meant to the young men and now young women who go into the service?
Yeah, it, you know, you can't help but think about it. I mean, of course, the Army is altogether different. We didn't have women in the Army back when I was in like they have now. I had a grandson that was in the Army. He went in the National Guard, and then he was activated to the Army, but he was in about 8 years, but he was stationed in New York, and my son and I went up there, flew up there to see him one time, and we'd go to PX, you know, and get drinks and food and stuff, but the biggest part of them was as many women as it was men.
Right.
And running around in their uniforms, you know, and I was kind of surprised. It was kind of different than what I'd been through, but... he kind of rubs it in me. He made sergeant when he was in, so he kind of calls me an underling, you know, of PFC. So.
Did he go abroad?
Yeah, he spent some time over there in Iraq.
Oh.
He wasn't over there about 4, 5, 6 months, but he was over there. And
as a veteran, there are certain benefits that you have.
Oh, yeah. Quite a bit of benefits.
You know, we now hear a lot about how the veteran hospitals and things like that sometimes don't function well. Has the veteran experience been a good experience for you?
Oh, yeah. I tell you, when I took my physical to go in the service, we took it at Kansas City, and they stripped us down in a big room and, you know, give us all the kinds of examinations. And when they checked my blood pressure, there was a whole bunch of us, but undoubtedly it was high. But they made us lay down on benches around the room on her stomach with her arm hanging over. And every once in a while they'd come by and check her blood pressure. And after a while they said, well, you're good to go, you know. And That's the only thing. I didn't realize I had high blood pressure. I was in, like I said, I was in the hospital in Germany. I had operated appendicitis, they didn't say anything, and then they give you kind of a physical when you get out. They didn't say anything, but when I went to go back to work on the railroad, my blood pressure was too high to go to work.
Oh.
So I had to go to Topeka to the Santa Fe Hospital for 2 weeks to get my blood pressure down where I was able to go to work. But at Syracuse, the doctor up there was, he was an ex-Army doctor, which I went to, and he told me, he said, well, you need to file a claim for that, and you may not get anything, but you get older, it's going to get worse, you know. Excuse me. But anyway, I did that, and I went to Wichita to VA hospital and took physical, and they gave me a 10% disability for high blood pressure. And of course, but it, when I first started, I got out in March, and in August, I went down there, but in August I started driving. It's $12.95, 10% a month. A month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I've drew it all these years, but now it's $129
a
month.
Oh my
gosh! The cost of living, went up.
So how did they treat high blood pressure then? Did they have medication?
Pills, yeah, medication, yeah. Well, I take high blood pressure medicine now. I take 8 pills a day for some reason, but my blood pressure has been normal for forever.
Okay, well, it's probably because you take those pills.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well,
yeah.
You mentioned the Santa Fe Hospital. You mean the Santa Fe had a hospital?
In Topeka, yeah. At one time they did. I don't think they don't have it anymore, I don't think. Yeah, and you could. Yeah, I spent 2 weeks down there. I wasn't sick, but in fact, get out of the hospital and go uptown and go to a movie or something. I'd just be there in time to take my medication. They could give me medication, but in the 2 week period, they got it down where it was low enough that I could go back to work. So, but I mean, it didn't cost me anything.
Right.
It was Santa Fe Hospital.
Closest VA hospital to you now is where?
Wichita.
Wichita.
Yeah. I was just down there here a while back and got a shingles shot. Everybody says you ought to have one of them.
I know, so they say that.
And I tried to get one here, but I had to pay for it if I did. But if I go to the VA, well, it didn't cost me to get a shingle shot.
Now, do your children live around here?
I have 2 daughters that lives here in Cimarron.
Okay.
I have a son that lives at Offerley.
Oh.
And I have 2 kids in Wichita, a boy and a girl.
Oh, okay.
Lives down there. Yeah, I go to Wichita quite a bit, to see them and one thing another.
Okay.
Of course, I still have my folks. They had a little farm back there, just a quarter, and I still have that. So
oh my gosh! Does someone farm it?
No, it's all pasture anymore.
Okay.
About half of it was pasture and half of it was farm ground when the folks got it. But after Dad got where he couldn't work, he let it go back, all of it back to pasture. So we rent it out every year for pasture.
Is there a home on it?
There's a big old stone house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's still standing there. But my mother lived there till she passed away by herself after Dad passed away, and but nobody's lived there since, and it's just stood there. It's like old homes, it's deteriorating.
Right.
So,
okay. Is there anything else you want to say that you think might be? These tapes, of course, are valuable because, as people get older and their experiences sort of fade, and young people aren't interested in it at the time when they hear these stories, but then the tapes will, serve researchers well.
Yeah, that's understandable. It's a good deal, really.
So any words of wisdom
Well, not really. I just do what you ought to do and take care of things.
I think that's a work ethic or a way of life for many people. But I've had, when I did the World War II veterans, they would say that when they went to basic training, they just encountered so many different ways of thinking about life, you know, as they met different people from different parts of the country.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. Everybody's different from different places. And, I had guys from New York in a company, and they talked different.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them wasn't too smart, I didn't
yes.
think. But in fact, when I was driving a Jeep, one of them was he was a mail clerk, but I would have to take him to Stuttgart to get the mail and bring it back. And he was always wanting to drive that Jeep, so there was a back road we could take to get down there, just about the same distance, but he wasn't on the main road. But so one day he kept after me to want to drive the Jeep. Well, I thought, well, I'll let him. We was out on that back road, and he got over there, and he just yanked it in gear. He didn't clutch it or nothing. He didn't know beans about driving, and I didn't realize that. And then he didn't know how to steer it. I couldn't get him stopped quick enough to get him out of there, but that was quite an experience. But I couldn't believe it. Somebody his age didn't know how to drive, you know, and being in the Army and everything, but
in New York City.
Yeah, he was a New Yorker.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that people from the Deep South, too, also.
Yeah. I tell you one thing that I run into that at home, we didn't have colored people. Mm-hmm. But down there, man, that was the majority of it. But I had some real good friends, you know, colored people. I'd never been around them. I didn't really know what to expect. But, but you learn to cope and get by, and we did. We got along fine.
And don't you think that's a valuable part of getting you out of your home community?
Yeah. Well, yes, it's a learning experience. Mm-hmm. It really is. And like I say, I'm not sorry that I did it. Mm-hmm. At the time, I didn't think I wanted to, but I kind of had to. So, you make the best of it.
So, could I ask why you didn't tell the draft board that you got married?
I just never give it a thought.
Okay.
You know, we had other things on our mind
right.
at that time. When I got noticed for induction, I went and talked to them and told them then, and it don't make any difference. We didn't know it when you were picked, to be inducted. So,
okay, well, it's over the time. I've kept you too long, so I'm going to turn this off.
I've enjoyed visiting with you.